price.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. As always, right off the bat, we talk with talk radio news, true insiders, when it comes to anything Washington and, for that matter, anything political. Just don't ask Ellen Ratner about sports. I think she knows the difference between the Giants and the Jets, though. Hi, Ellen.
I'm not sure I do, actually.
I love it.
That's Are they both football?
They're both football. Ding, ding, ding. We've got a prize for you. I know you know about the Supreme Court and the fact that they're going to review the Stolen Valor Act. Interesting stuff, because Xavier Alvarez, he was guilty. Congress in 2006 found that he violated federal law for claiming he was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Now the court agrees to look at this, and it's a free speech issue.
It is a free speech issue, and the lower court decided that it essentially was free speech, but they're taking a look at it. The government is going to defend the law. Of course, the government has to, by law, defend the law.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That sounds like a bumper sticker. By law, defend the law.
Right.
Yeah. The Supreme Court, a couple of other things they're also looking at, too, on Royal Dutch Shell and whether or not a claim can actually, this is a big one, can be held against a corporation. That could have rippling effects.
That's right. And the question is whether a corporation is a person, and whether this this Alien Claims Act, which is a very old law, is actually valid. With a corporation, and whether this Dutch company, Dutch Shell, can be sued for what they did and what they were complicit with in Nigeria.
Yeah. All right, moving to the bus tour, the president's schedule and what happened stopping at North Carolina. He was talking about a slew of things, mostly, as you know, surrounding jobs and talking about getting on Congress. He urged people to do that. And he's meeting with people in South Carolina, I guess. He's going to do some remarks at the college there at Guilford Technical Community College. And I suppose there's a purpose to that, because talking about futuristic things, I would assume. Jobs.
Yes, and this is all about jobs. It's very interesting that he is making jobs tour. He's been talking to Harry Reid. Harry Reid is working very a lot with him on this issue. They're going to put together a $35 billion bill to put cops and all those guys and teachers back to work. We'll see what happens. I think the Senate's going to vote no, and I think the president's going to try and box him in and say, why are you doing that?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a tough nut to crack open, and no matter how you look at it, whether it's the original plan, piecing it apart, throwing this together, this is going to be drawn out all the way through through parts of 2012. Don't you think this drags all the way through?
Oh, I think we are not going to hear till the end of it. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, this one I was stunned by. Herman Cain, first the 999 deal. That's, I was mentioning bumper sticker statement earlier. That's a bumper sticker, right? Even if you don't understand it. And
Right. Now
he said something about having an electric fence at the border, and a few people in Congress took offense to that.
They're going nuts about that, Kate. They're saying, particularly Charlie Gonzalez, Hispanic, from Texas, really just felt he was out of line and very not understanding of the issue of immigration in this country.
Yeah. All right. So we move from the immigration issue in 2012 to this was, I'm glad you sent me a note. I'm glad you threw this on the note. The CDC, I was talking to somebody earlier about this today, says alcohol abuse could cost $224 billion a year. And they say that the drinker, the person who's got alcohol related problems, his family isn't going to really bear, or her family is going to bear the brunt of it. It's actually the government and everybody else. Is that true?
The problem is that it is caused, whether it be traffic accidents, whether it be missed days of work, whether it be early deaths and family and benefits and all that kind of stuff that are paid. It's an expensive legal drug.
Yeah, no kidding. At the end of it, they estimate, and this was 2006, by the way, they're talking about $746 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. Wow. That's a big number.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah, no kidding. Ellen Ratner, as always, fun to talk to you from Talk Radio News. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Good luck with that. All right, so we're going to let you hear, of course, in the next segment, a little bit of the Prez rapping on Congress, taking the soft mallet and hitting them over the head about jobs and telling all the people in North Carolina, blame it on Congress. In the meantime, because we are still fresh off of our straw poll here on America Tonight, which, once again, thank you. So many of you sent me emails and also chimed in on the air as well about who you would vote for if you had to vote now. We thought it'd be fun to take a rolling average and do it for 3 weeks. You know, not just a bada bing, one shot, and that's it. So we did it for 3 weeks, and Herman Cain was the winner narrowly. He finished just a few points in front of Ron Paul. This audience, without a doubt, liked those two the best. And after that, it was Mitt Romney and Rick Perry. Only Michelle Bachmann came in to play afterwards. So the number one guy was Herman Cain. He had over 102 votes. Ron Paul had well over 102, so just a vote, really a vote, and a vote behind. He was really a vote behind. Romney was behind him, Perry, and then, as I said, Bachmann, too. So it's interesting to see how many people have jumped on the Cain train, where now at this point, a new poll comes out. Newsmax did a poll. Everyone's doing these polls. And Newsmax showed Cain 8 points ahead in Iowa. So an 8-point lead over the nearest Republican, period, end of story. Crazy. And he's running second to Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney in New Hampshire narrowly. Because we know that the primary season is coming up. Could be December, could be January. It's definitely going to be January, but could be December, and here we are with just a couple of weeks left in October before we swing into November. So now it's getting down to the nitty-gritty as far as the primaries are concerned anyway. And he keeps coming up with this bumper sticker wisdom. So even though he doesn't have a lot of money in his campaign compared to what others have raised, Mitt Romney being the most, he says, "I don't talk politician." That was his big quote on the day. "I don't do it." He was at a rally in Tennessee over the weekend. He said, "I've grown up telling it like it is, and I'm going to continue to tell it like it is." He says, you know, "I'm from the Deep South," and that most of African Americans, is what he says, were brainwashed into rejecting conservatives. And he said since he was a kid, he went against the grain, and he did not care. That's why he's been able to do things like beat colon cancer and do so well in the fast food business when it was struggling. He's the son of a maid and a janitor. He went on to become the driver for Coca-Cola's CEO in Atlanta. And, you know, he grew up in a very modest neighborhood and worked his way up through the chain. Because now a lot of people are wanting to know, if they don't know who Herman Cain is, what his background is. And everybody is pulling apart 9% income, corporate, and national sales tax. So how about that? As I said before, a few of you still asked me, that's it. Cain number one, but Ron Paul just 2 votes really behind him, and then the rest here on America Tonight. The president in North Carolina coming up. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
In the White House, surrounding the White House, and the Capitol, that I think is the theme. That and the fact that all you have is that political machine that grinds on and on and on and on and on. But I don't have to preach to all of you because so many of you call this show with your frustrations. Now there's a little excitement in the wind because new faces that you're not familiar with as much, somebody who's not a politician jumping into the race, because no matter if you're going to vote for Herman Cain or not, he still is good to juice up the other side. If you're not voting for Obama, if you're voting for Obama, you don't really want to see that. If you're not voting for Obama and you want some kind of an alternative, and of course, I like the idea of a third party, but that time has not come yet, my friend. So you got the Republicans and you got the Democrat, the lone Democrat. So Herman Cain, whether you like his plan, whether you can pull it apart, you know, just because he throws that out, the bumper sticker 999, even if he were to be the long shot that won the Republican nod in the race against Obama, and can you imagine if he were to become president, well, just because he dreams it, thinks it, throws it out there, doesn't mean that that would become the reality anyway. But that's not here or there. The bottom line is Herman Cain has definitely juiced things out there, meaning more people are paying attention. And really, you could say the same with Ron Paul, except for Ron Paul has had a loyal following and has been a politician for a long, long time. So people who like Ron Paul have been with him right from the start because they know one thing about Ron Paul. He doesn't care what you think about his opinions. He doesn't hide behind the party. He says what he thinks and doesn't worry about how it comes out. Whether people disagree with him on Ben Bernanke or the Federal Reserve or pulling all the troops out of the Middle East and other places, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. He says it, that's it, period. And Herman Cain is portraying himself as the same guy, but not a politician because he doesn't speak that way. He's a business guy. He worked his way up from a family of very modest means. So now with these polls that are spinning around, the other things that are out there are the comparisons to what if the election were held right now, would Obama really get a second term? Would people go out, would Democrats go out, and would independents go out, and maybe some disenfranchised Republicans, would they go out and vote for the current president? Well, I read an article today that was interesting, and I bring it up because this guy is usually dead on with his opinions when he prognosticates, when he crunches numbers and goes back and looks to see what he thinks will happen based on things from before. His name's Larry Sabato, and he is from the University of Virginia's Center for Politics, rather. And he says, if the election were held today, not only would Obama lose, but he would lose badly. It wouldn't be close. He would really, really lose. And his numbers are based on what's happening now. Economic, political, social, pulling everything, and then making some kind of a judgment. And he says the president is very lucky the election isn't this November because he would not win it. I mean, he went so far as to go for a state-by-state breakdown, state-by-state. And he said, you know, Virginia gave a larger percentage to Barack Obama than Florida or Ohio, but if Obama can't win Virginia for a second time, he's saying, how does he carry Florida or Ohio? Ohio is a key state. And if he loses all the key states and North Carolina, how can he win the election? And, of course, you could argue about the Electoral College, the votes. You could argue about a lot of different things because the theory of the popular vote that, you know, it's not the popular vote that ultimately will push someone over the top. So now it's no accident that the president is in North Carolina, although they say he's not campaigning, because the president in 2008 carried two swing states, Indiana and North Carolina, and those are two that he could likely lose. The Democrats are betting on the Tar Heel state, betting on the fact that North Carolina could stay, could hang, could be a state that won't go in the other direction. So what happens in 13 months? What happens in 13 months? Man, it's exciting. In North Carolina, the president squarely went after Congress. He's done this before, but he says, you know, Congress has to answer. Look for the congressional votes. Look in that direction. Here he is.
If they vote against taking steps that we know will put Americans back to work, they've got to explain, not to me, but to you, why they're doing it. They don't have to answer to me, but they do have to answer to you. You sent them there. We're going to ask them to vote on whether construction workers should sit idly by while China's building the newest roads and bridges and airports, or whether we should put our construction workers back to work rebuilding America so that we can compete in the 21st century.
All right, and that's one of the things that's out there on the table. Harry Reid is doing some of the heavy lifting for the Prez. You heard that a little bit of that with Ellen Ratner, if you were listening, at the top of America Tonight. Part of this whole, you know, this whole bus tour and schedule thing and the push, the jobs, is Interior and Transportation Department starting the jobs program. And Senator Harry Reid pushing on the floor a bill that provides $35 billion for states to rehire teachers, firefighters, police, increases in taxes on millionaires. So it's that same familiar theme that specifically is now being tunneled through Harry Reid while the president is on the road and he's hammering home the same points. To me, the fascinating thing is the picking of going to North Carolina, going to Virginia, because of what an important part they could play in the next election. I think Florida is going to be really tough for Obama to win if Senator Rubio is on the Republican ticket. He's saying he doesn't want it, but that's what he's saying now. It's different when you get closer to the cycle and closer to someone who's picked as the president to run as the for the presidency on the Republican side of things. If that happens, boy, that could really, really, really change things. And now all votes point to Ohio, shockingly, going Republican if the election happened now. If it happened now, but it's not happening now. We still have 13 months before that. And who knows, when we talk about the House, the Republicans should hold on to the House. In the Senate, could they take control or not? You know, that's a flip of a coin, too. I mean, that's, you know, heads I win, tails you lose kind of thing. That's what the Republicans anyway are hoping for. Did you get that? It's kind of a sleight of hand trick. Heads I win, tails you lose. Feel free to rip it off. Interesting, however, on the heels of what we're saying about with straw polls and whatnot. Hey, coming up around the bend, so excited about this next guest, because we're talking about Iran and what happened, you know, 2 weeks ago, the attempt, actually before that, the attempted assassination of the Saudi ambassador to the United States. And what is the United States' play? We're going to chat with Mark Dubowitz, who's the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the head of its Iran Human Rights Project. He hits it pretty hard here, talking about what has to happen with China and Russia. Also, some of the new atrocities that we weren't aware of before that actually were just released or leaked out. And the reason why a lot of people should be much more worried about Iran than they are. Stay with us.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione, The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. I mentioned this on a previous show, but did you know that our government has issued 19 executive orders and passed 7 laws sanctioning Iran during the past 30 years? And yet Iran continues to push and pursue for that nuclear program and, in my opinion, absolutely sponsor terrorism. I don't think anyone is going to object to me saying that. And, of course, last week we talked about this, and there was some controversy over this, certainly with the listeners to this show, over the fact that the FBI, Robert Mueller, had a press conference and announced, along with Eric Holder, the Attorney General, that they had broken up a plan by two men linked to Iran's security agencies to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in Washington. One of the suspects was arrested last month. The other one is at large and is believed to be in Iran. So we've talked about this a ton. I am pleased to welcome to the show Mark Dubowitz. He's the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and head of its Iran Human Rights Project. Mark, thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thanks, Kate, for having me on.
Hey, first, your take on when you first heard about the assassination attempt.
Kate, not a surprise. The Iranians have been at war with us for 30 years. They've killed our men and women all over the world. They've gone after opponents of the regime in Europe and South America. So not a surprise that they've decided to hit us at home.
And you heard me say, and you are very well aware of it, the statistics about all the sanctions we've thrown that country's way and what's happened over the years. And in my opinion, it's not working. What do you think?
Well, Kate, I think you're right. It's certainly not working if our objective is to, one, stop the Iranian nuclear program, two, end their support for terrorism, and three, stop their brutal repression of the Iranian people. I think sanctions themselves are weakening the regime. They're not a silver bullet. They're not going to single-handedly solve the problem, but they may be silver shrapnel. They're wounding the regime, and it's always good to weaken your enemy, but they're certainly not enough to get the job done.
Mark, when the people protested over the elections, remember that? I thought that was a golden opportunity maybe for the U.S. to really step in hard there. And, of course, they didn't other than to say bravo and let the people's will go and all that kind of stuff. But remember what happened? The news media was kicked out. And then there were all kinds of allegations, and in fact, some of them proven, that people had been killed for speaking out and that kind of thing. Do you think that that was a missed opportunity?
Well, I think it's a huge missed opportunity. I think President Obama believes it was a huge missed opportunity. I think the Obama administration deeply regrets not having come out more forcefully in support of the Iranian people in June 2009. And I think the reason for that is that the administration believed they could cut a deal with the regime over the nuclear program and didn't want to do anything that would have undercut the possibility of a deal. I think that many people in the administration now recognize there is no deal to be had with Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who's the supreme leader of Iran, and that it's time to look at more forceful measures.
Yeah, when you say more forceful measures, and that the president did say that, hey, nothing's off the table, what do you think that means in looking at possible options?
Well, it means a comprehensive strategy that goes beyond sanctions. I think first and foremost, it's really supporting the millions of Iranians who want to change this regime. And we have to remember it's not only the United States who wants to see regime change in Iran, it's millions of people who took to the streets, who braved murder and rape and torture to tell the Iranians to go, to tell the dictator that they had to go. I think second, it means having a credible military threat. It doesn't mean starting another war in the Middle East. It does mean letting the Iranians know that they cannot act with impunity. And a credible military threat makes it easier for sanctions to work. It makes it easier to get other countries to comply with the UN sanctions that have been passed. And covert operations, taking out Iranian nuclear scientists, putting faulty equipment in the proliferation supply chain. There are many things that can be done, but the strategy needs to be comprehensive, intense, relentless, and focused.
Yeah, I agree with you. Russia and China, what are the chances of really getting them on board? That's part of the problem.
A very difficult issue. The Chinese, I think, have slowed down their investment in the Iranian energy sector. We've gotten some compliance from Beijing, but the major issue there is the number of Chinese companies that are providing parts and components to the Iranian nuclear program. There are about 20 Chinese companies that are doing brick business with the Iranians, and they're helping them build a bomb. I think we got to let the Chinese know that if they want continued access to the U.S. as the largest consumer market in the world, they have to stop helping the Iranians build a nuclear weapon. And similarly with the Russians, we've seen Russian energy companies started to move out of the Iranian energy sector, but they too have helped the Iranians build Bashar, which is a large nuclear facility, and they continue to supply weaponry. So we have to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with both Moscow and Beijing on this.
Yeah, no kidding. And you think of the things that have happened, and of all the things that have been done, the regime, of course, murdering Americans abroad in several different places, including Iraq and Afghanistan, other civilians that have been killed in numerous countries. Of all the things that this country has pulled off, has been able to get away with, what do you think is the most heinous of all?
Well, it's a real long rap sheet. It's hard to choose. I mean, everything from killing our Marines in 1983 to the 1996 Khobar Towers attack that killed 19 servicemen. I think what's been most heinous has been what's been most overlooked, and that is the extent of cooperation between Iran and al-Qaeda. It's not well known, but in fact, the deputy commander of Hezbollah, which is a Iranian surrogate, Imad Mughniyeh, worked with al-Qaeda in the 1990s and trained al-Qaeda operatives. And certainly there's evidence from the 9/11 report after 9/11 that was commissioned by the U.S. government that they were, in fact, the Iranians were giving free transit and help and assistance to the 9/11 hijackers. So the links between al-Qaeda and Iran are not well understood, haven't been well developed, and I think that is particularly egregious when you think of what Al-Qaeda has represented in terms of the number of Americans killed and the security threat they've represented to the United States.
Now, if that were flushed out more, I mean, that's great that you said that, because if that's flushed out more and people it starts to resonate with people and they start to realize that really for people, because there, you know this, there are people in the United States that are saying, you know, let Iran develop whatever nuclear capabilities they want to develop. Just leave them alone. We don't need to deal with them. Let's just forget it. But I don't think we can afford to forget it. And I think you making the analysis talking about Al-Qaeda and that the people aren't too aware of that, I think if that were flushed out a little more, maybe some people would feel a little bit differently, don't you?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the notion, particularly in this town, that you can contain Iran, that a nuclear-armed Iran can be contained through a combination of sanctions and providing political and military support to our allies and waging sort of a Cold War, is contradicted by the evidence. I mean, Iran, this is not a rational regime. It's a regime that is willing to do what it tried to do allegedly a couple of weeks ago, which is kill an ambassador on U.S. soil. And it's a regime that has been reckless. It's been a regime that has confronted the United States for decades. It's a regime that if it had a nuclear weapon and had weapons of mass destruction, the question is how confident are we that this regime would not hand off those weapons to Hezbollah or Hamas or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or the Shia militia in Iraq? And if indeed some of these skeptics are right that there is no central command and control and that Khamenei is not in charge, by the way, not a position I agree with, then if there are so-called rogue elements within this regime, particularly within the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, what is to stop the Revolutionary Guard Corps from being equally reckless or even more reckless and handing nuclear weapons to some of these terrorist organizations? The regime can't be contained. We have to stop this nuclear program, and time is running out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, human rights abuses in Iran, how rampant are they, in your opinion, and what you've seen and heard and all your analysis?
Well, they're extensive, they're egregious. In fact, the United Nations Human Rights Council, which spends most of its time actually bashing Israel and doing very little investigation on true human rights abusers, surprisingly put out a report just today that was leaked to the media. And it is a extensive catalog of Iranian human rights abuses, and it makes for sobering reading. It is horrendous what this regime has done to its own people. The murders, the rapes, the tortures, just the brutal repression. And, you know, if this is a regime that will treat its own people this way, how can we expect this regime, how can we trust this regime to act rationally and humanely if it actually had the ability to wipe out an American city? I mean, this is a regime that has abused its own people for 30 years. This is not a regime that cares about human rights or human dignity.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You say time's running out. How soon do you think the U.S. has to really react hard and swiftly?
It's hard to say. All the experts who've been weighing in, I mean, the time frame is sort of anywhere between 6 months to 2 to 3 years. The time frame changes, gets pushed back, because we've done a somewhat decent job at rolling back the Iranian nuclear program, making it more difficult for them to get key parts and components, using Stuxnet and cyber warfare to take some of their centrifuges out. It is more difficult for the Iranians to build a bomb. Time frame has been pushed further and further back. But best case scenario, we've got a couple of years. Worst case, we've got a few months. And what's even more of concern is not necessarily the Iranians getting a nuclear weapon, but having nuclear capability, what we call breakout capability, the ability to very quickly assemble nuclear weapons if they want to. This is a capability that, for example, Japan has, to have the technical capability but not necessarily cross that red line in developing a nuclear weapon. And Iran with a breakout capability is as dangerous as an Iran with a nuclear bomb itself.
Right, because they could turn it over quickly is what you're saying.
They could turn it over quickly, and they could go right to the line, not test, not come out overtly and break out, and therefore not incur the wrath of the international community. But they could have the capability that gives them the ability to project power, intimidate their neighbors, and to wage a terrorist proxy war around the world, which is what they've done for decades.
Yeah. Mark Dubowitz, Executive Director of FDD and the head of its Iran Human Rights Project, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
About our straw poll and what were the final numbers. So many of you hoping that Ron Paul would knock off Herman Cain in the end, but it didn't happen. The official final numbers, because I counted some from over the weekend that I didn't see that were in the emails. So to be fair to everybody, here is the exact tally. I love that this audience was so involved in it. And as we exit out this hour, this is it. I'm giving it to you, okay? You ready? Herman Cain, 105, officially. I went back, I counted it. And I don't count like they do in Florida. There's no hanging chads here on ATN. So 105. Ron Paul, 103. Can you believe that? So the majority of this audience wanted either Cain or Paul. Okay, Romney ended up with 83 votes. Perry, Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, ended up officially with 71. And Michelle Bachmann ended up with 28. So she actually got a few more in the end, too. And as for Obama, and I said this the other day, there was one more vote. I said that he had gotten 10, 11. 11 for Obama. So, geez, add up those numbers. Good job, everybody. Good job that so many people just felt like throwing in their two cents on who they would vote for after listening to so many of the polls and what the results were here on America Tonight. I say it all the time, but I love polls just because I used to think they were nothing but fluff and crap and a great way for people to make money. But then I talked to a few people like Frank Lutz, who you might see pop up sometimes now a lot on Fox. He'd been on Bill Maher's show a bunch. And he is the ultimate pollster, and he talks about the importance of that. And I used to think, that's just great that he's making a living that way. But now I really think there is something to it, because so many jobs ultimately are on the line with the polling averages and stuff. I think ultimately when you take an average of all of them, it really shows you where the nation is going. I mean, there's a reason why these exist. So check it out. The caucuses, the Iowa Republican caucuses, are going to be January 3rd. January 3rd, how about that? Because there was a big tug of war over when that was going to happen. New Hampshire went ballistic as to, hey, you know, we're the Granite State. We're doing whatever we want to do. New Hampshire was threatening to move its first in the nation primary into December. So now Iowa decided, hey, we're the nice guys. This is when we're doing it. We're doing it January 3rd. Florida really pushed all this stuff up when they decided to move their primary to January 31st. And that set off that crazy chain reaction on all the nonsense, all the trash talking between New Hampshire and Iowa, and throw in Florida for good measure because they were the bullies that set this whole thing off. So New Hampshire's chief election official says Nevada's decision this month to hold caucuses January 14th would crowd the primary, and they were going to do it before the holidays. But the Iowa vote to now instead go on January 3rd, I think, flips things. That means New Hampshire will happen on January 8th. Can you believe we're that close to that? January 8th. And, I mean, this is big stuff, because if you're on the Republican side, if you're Mitt Romney or Rick Perry or Herman Cain or anybody who's running, anybody that we keep seeing jump onto the platform with these GOP debates, that this is life and death to them. This is moving along or moving out of the race eventually if they decide they can't get the momentum back. In fact, I'm surprised that there aren't a few people that have slipped away already. Rick Santorum, you know, he's had some popularity with folks, but to stay in the middle of this when he's really coming up in single digits and at the bottom of it. John Huntsman, for grins, he threw in and had some interesting things to say. The people in Utah love him. There are a lot of people that like Huntsman's stands on a couple of issues, but really, does he have any momentum to do it? And as somebody in the Republican Party told me in a brief conversation over the weekend, listen, here's the thing. When people get on the Sunday shows, anybody who says they're running for president, when they start to talk, they have a book out, they get some momentum, they have, as I like to call it, the bumper sticker moment. Then when they're doing things like selling books like Herman Cain, they get more of a crowd at some of these autograph sessions, and their PACs, the PACs, buy the books, and that's part of the deal of when often when you donate, hey, you're going to get a book and that kind of stuff, and that pumps up the amount of books that you sell too. So for the people who throw in, that's the reason why often they'll hang around for what comes up next, and even some to possibly end up being mentioned as a cabinet position or maybe a vice presidential position. We've seen that before when people have been asked in these debates whether or not they would be a candidate to be a vice president. Of course, they all poo-poo that because they don't want to say that when they're running, trying to grab the ticket, you know, period. All right, a couple of other things before we skedaddle. Because we've talked about, besides the politics of everything and the dates and all of that, besides what we have been talking about day after day after day after day, here on America Tonight. And I always say it's about the buzz in your backyard, and you know it. The buzz in your backyard is who is going to be the next commander-in-chief, or is it going to be the same commander-in-chief, and how does it make you feel, and what do you think it means for your economic and your family's future? I mean, it's the question that we wake up to every single day. It's like when you go to those motivational speeches or you read Zig Ziglar or any of the people that are telling you how you can make a lot of money. I was reading something over the weekend. Somebody handed me a book called The Wealthy Speaker. And that one of the things they all tell you, you have to have your goals. And every day, read your goals, whatever your goals are. So what is the goal for most of us? To survive and thrive. So what, can't we just all write that down now and put that next to our bedside? To have more money in my wallet. So if I want to take my kids to McDonald's, I'm not counting change out of the ashtray to do it. That's the God's honest truth for us. That's the buzz in the backyard. Stretching the dollars. So the person who can convince us that they can do that, that they can turn the economy around, that's the person that's going to ultimately get the most buzz, I hope, and the person who's going to get elected. Is it the current guy? Oh, I know you're all chomping at the bit, running to get your cell phone to call me up and say, what, are you crazy? But there are several people, like I said, 11 people even in our own poll said, look, people are jumping on his back. They're not giving him a chance. He's only had 4 years. So we're rolling the dice. And speaking of rolling the dice, yes, there is another debate in Nevada, in Las Vegas, on Tuesday. So here we go again. If there's any doubt as to how somebody feels about the issues and what their plan is, it'll be rolled out one more time. I mean, they've had a lot of these debates, a lot of them. I mean, we're coming off the whole round table thing, and now we're going into the craps table moment for the Republicans, if you will. So 7 of the contenders are there participating in a state that could be a swing state or a pivotal state anyway in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, and also maybe in the general election too as well. Remember, Obama easily won Nevada in 2008. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid was reelected last year, but a Republican won the governor's office in 2010. So it's become now another one of those swing states. And what do the people in Nevada have the worst in this country? Unemployment, 13.4%. Home foreclosures are terrible. The worst, the highest in the country. Just, you know, food for thought. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me at americatonight.net. Click on the email and you're in.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about things?